Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you were very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead."
So we have this reading, and we have a baptism, and we have our APCM. All three things are really important. In baptism, we respond to God. God calls to us all. There's a yearning in us, I think, that often when I'm talking to people who don't have faith, they're like, "There's just something I need. There's something I'm missing." And sometimes I think maybe that's a purpose in faith. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you didn't drink enough water today. But there's something that we seem to yearn for. And that seems to me to be God's call. And when I do a baptism, I'm reminded that we are baptized because we are called by God, because God yearns for us and reaches out to us. And that is an amazing thing. We affirm those words in baptism. But we also know that faith is a journey, not a one-point thing, right? I could tell you, I was baptized as a child, confirmed at 13, just as you're supposed to in the Anglican Church, left the church after that confirmation, never came back. And then in my early 20s, was yearning for something and was called into a relationship with God in a quite... feels spectacular moment, but it was a moment of utter agony where I called out and God responded. Not in an audible voice or anything, just in a feeling that has put me on this path to being a priest, weirdly. So we know that it's a journey, it's not a one moment thing. And Paul seems quite harsh in this reading. He says they're ignorant in the English, but I think it's interesting, the Greek isn't quite so harsh as our English context kind of describes it. What I think is actually happening with Paul in Acts is this, that he is open to the fact that they have a faith, even though they don't say the same things as him. He's open to the fact that people know about God, even when they don't have the language that we might think is the right language. They are able to create spaces of worship, even though they don't know who that God is. And I find that really exciting. Paul's so curious that he is able to speak about who he thinks God is into that place where they don't know. And if I'm honest, this last year since our last APCM hadn't gone quite as I thought it would be. When I started training to be a priest, I thought my curacy was going to be the time where I'd get to relax. I wouldn't be in charge and I would get a time to learn and to embed all my spiritual disciplines really well in my life. And then I would venture into my new parish ministry, a proper priest, doing all the right things. Doing all the right things and being a world. Do not worry. There is a creche as well if she wants to play. Because I'd been in church leadership since I was in my 20s. And I thought this would be a time to rest. And anyone who's been around this year, you know, it's not quite been that way. We've worked really hard sustaining the church in this period of interregnum. There's not just me, everyone. And I had a moment. Last week I was in Malta on pilgrimage on a jet ski. And there was more spiritual moments than that. And as I sat on a hill looking over this little island where Paul is supposed to have been shipwrecked while he's in prison. So Paul, who Acts is written about, this bit of Acts is about his story. I was looking at this giant statue of Paul on this island where he was supposed to be shipwrecked, thinking about, you know, all these worthy things and trying to be as holy as possible. And there was a little yacht in the cove, which was a party yacht, and they were blaring out European house music and jumping into the sea and drinking. And I was looking at them thinking, I could be on that yacht. No, I was thinking, how do I do this? This faith thing, when there's European house music blaring in the background. How do you do it every day? How do you do it when it's not going away and sitting on a hill? How do you do it when life is hard? How do you do it when you just got to get to work? How do you do it when it's raining from October to January and February and March? How do you do it when your bus doesn't come and you're going to work and you're getting frustrated? How do you do it? It's easy, I think, to do it isolated by yourself, sitting, reading, contemplating. Maybe it's easy, maybe it's not. But I had two questions that came to me in that moment of trying to find spiritual peace on a hill in Malta with a yacht blaring out European house. It wasn't even good house music, really bad pop. Where is your faith? Question one. Paul in Acts 17 says it's not in buildings or gold or statues. It is not in the things made by human hands. Those things seem to help, though. We come to a building and do church. We are church. The people of God gathered in mission and movement. But it does seem to help to come and do it together. But where is your faith? And this is a question to me. You can choose to ask that question of yourself. And the second question was, what does your faith do? Where is it? And what does it do? Does it change you? Does it challenge you? Does it move from you into the world? Does it make a space that feels peaceful for others who find the world hard? What does your faith do? I'll leave those with you. Sometimes questions are better than answers. So today we think about where is your faith and what does it do? And before we go into our time of intercession led by Nigel, we'll just take a few seconds, a few moments, just to ponder those questions. Where is your faith and what does it do?